good? Wasn't that awesome? All of the kids, our little ones, our kids, our grade 5-6, that was awesome. Thank you to also Geraldine and Annette, the choir. That was awesome. So well done. Well, good morning. Welcome to this service where we light the candle of joy. And we have already been given a good reason to express some joy. We sang about how Jesus brings joy to the world. How our kids have contributed to our joy. How they have sang about the one who gives us joy. And that is a reason for us to rejoice. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can talk about joy. We can talk about peace in the midst of a world that has a lot of chaos and not always a lot of reasons for joy. And we pray that this morning we would continue to grasp the joy, the peace, all the reasons why this time of Christmas is a reason for us to celebrate, to rejoice. And so as we open up your word today, I pray that you would speak, clearly to hearts, to each one of us. May you be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a question. We've lit the candle of joy. Where do you experience joy? Where do you find that? Is it a place? Is it a time? Is it a memory? Is it a future hope? There are places that we go that help us to experience joy. I'd like to share with you one of the places that I like to go to where it helps me understand and perhaps embrace the joy that we have a little bit more. That is, for me, one of those places that I go to is the mountains. I like just to get there and look up at these massive pieces of rock to understand that God is the one who put them there and that he is so much bigger. And that's one of the places that I go to experience that awe, that wonder, that joy in knowing that we have a God who loves us so much. I want to share with you a little story of a time I spent in the mountains. I was out on a backpacking trip. It was a weekend trip. We were in Banff National Park, and my two buddies and I, we were walking through this valley. It was gorgeous. We've got snow-capped mountains all around us. We've got these beautiful trees that are there. It's amazing. Right beside us in the valley that we're walking through is this creek. And it's rippling and bubbling, and it's just an amazing scene. And I just was amazed at the beauty that God created. And there was one little problem, though. I have my trusty altitude super guide, Hikes of the Canadian Rockies, and this is where we found the hike that we had. And it said in there, on this particular pass, the water that is flowing in that creek beside you comes from up in two sources. And both of those sources, horses walk across that water. Now, we recognize that that's maybe not important, but one of the things that it said right after that is, treat all drinking water. And so we're in this beautiful place, this beautiful scene, this beautiful water running beside us, but we know that it may look good, but it's not going to be good enough to just dip your canteen into and take a drink out of. So we had to ration our water. And it was the second day. We were continuing on our trip. And at this point in time, we had left the valley and we had moved up onto going over a mountain pass. And we were climbing up this nice trail that we had. It turned into shale, which was slippery and hard to navigate. We were up above the tree line, and so there wasn't a lot of shade. And so things were tough. It was a tough climb, and we were trying to ration our water. Along come two travelers that were coming the other direction, and they told us of this little spring. Water has come out from underneath the mountain. It's running through the mountain, and in doing that, it's being filtered. It's coming out, it's falling over this rock, and it provides this amazing water. Well, as we kept going up, we found this little spring. And it's over 20 years since I did this hike, but I still remember how refreshing that water was. It was amazing. It was so cold and so clear and so pure. And so we stopped at that little spring. It refreshed us from the long hike that we had been on. It gave us not only a time to rest, but we were able to resupply our water, and we were able to proceed on over the pass and down into the next valley. In our text that we're coming out of today in Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah is assuring the people of Israel who are in the midst of a tough climb, if you will. They're weary, they're tired, and Isaiah is providing them with a bit of hope, much like those travelers coming the other direction did for us. In Isaiah 12, verse 3, Isaiah writes this: "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah speaks of a joy that comes from having access to a well that dispenses a different kind of water. Isaiah speaks of a joy-giving flow that is not some small, hidden, obscure source that you have to search to find and you have to climb a mountain to get to. Isaiah talks about how these wells of salvation that give joy are connected to the Holy One of Israel being in their midst. Isaiah talks about the coming of the Messiah who will open up these joy-giving wells. And so for just a few minutes this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about joy. And we recognize that in the world that we live in, as much as we, again, last week talked about how peace is elusive, joy can be elusive as well. But joy can be like that cool, clear, pure water, a revitalizing and sustaining experience for us when we find joy. So we're in the season of Advent, and Advent is a time when it helps us to understand what it was like to look forward to the coming of the Messiah. We can understand what it was like to await the coming, the first coming of the Messiah. And so when we try and experience what it would be like, it's much like for you trying to experience what it was like for me on that climb. We have to try and put ourselves in that spot. What would it be like to not know when the Messiah would come? To not know when peace and joy and hope and love would be realized in the coming of the promised Messiah? Advent helps us understand what it would be like to await the arrival of the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Because in Isaiah's time, we understand that joy was scarce. Equally, in Mary and Joseph's time, it was a time of fear a time of oppression. And into these difficult times comes Jesus, a source of new and lasting joy. Joy that is pure. Joy that is refreshing. And so Isaiah talks about a well of salvation that brings joy. And I've got some good news for you. I don't know if that little spring up in the mountains is still there, but I do know that the springs, the wells of salvation that bring joy are still flowing fully, even today. Those very same wells that Isaiah talked about so long ago are still offering to us today their refreshment, their joy, their salvation. Because it is in the person of Jesus Christ that we find our joy. He is our joy. I like definitions. I like to kind of understand what I'm talking about. And so I searched for a definition of biblical joy. And the Bible Project has, they produce these educational videos, and they have an excellent resource around the themes of Advent, around hope and peace and joy and love. And I would recommend them. But their definition of joy is this. Christian joy is a profound decision of faith and hope in the power of Jesus' own life and love. Christian joy is a decision of faith and hope in the power of Jesus' own life and love. I like that. Real joy, lasting joy, is not found in what happens to me, but it is found in choosing to let Jesus be Savior and Lord of my life. Joy comes through a decision of faith and hope, trusting in Jesus. I like that because it differs from happiness. And happiness is, the very word happiness, its root comes from the word hap, which means chance or fortune. It is, happiness is something that happens to us, and joy is something that lives within us. And so when we try and understand, when we're talking about joy, that it is not something that we just happen upon, but it is the one who lives within us that offers us his joy. Another thing I like about that definition is it doesn't insist that we have to always have a smile on our face. Turn that frown upside down, you know. We don't have to. We can go through seasons of grief. It is okay for us to lament. We can go through seasons of pain and suffering and still know that those wells of salvation can produce in us joy that we can drink deeply from, even when we are going through difficult days. And so, joy is available, and it doesn't force us to always, don't worry, be happy, but to know that it is a source that comes from within, from the person of Jesus Christ. So where do we find these wells? How do I embrace that? How do I access this well? Well, you don't have to go to the mountains. You don't have to travel somewhere. Because it is not a place that we go to, it is a person that we have a relationship with. Joy is that decision to put our faith and hope in the one that we have been waiting for, in the one that we celebrate his coming, the baby Jesus. In Isaiah 12, it talks about how to embrace the hope and the joy and the love and the peace that Jesus brings. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says this, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." That's good news. He is my salvation. My salvation isn't found in what I find under the tree. My salvation isn't found in what I try and accomplish in my life. My salvation is found in Jesus Christ. I will trust. I will trust and not be afraid. At the beginning of October, I had a chance to speak, and we were working through the book of Galatians. And Paul in Galatians talks about this concept that in the eyes of God, we are justified. God looks at us and he doesn't see our sin because of what Jesus has done, not because of something that we have done. And that is good news. That is a reason for joy. It is not what I have to do. It is what Jesus has done. And that through our faith in Jesus, God looks at us just as if I had never sinned. And so that faith looks like believing in Jesus, that we would know who he is, know what he has done for us. We would believe that he is who he said he is, and what he has done, he has done for us. And as Isaiah says, to trust that what Jesus has done is enough, trusting our life into the hands of Jesus. Faith draws us not just to know and to believe, but to trust in him. And that is the well of salvation that brings joy. Joy comes in that. A few years ago, a friend of mine went through a really hard season, some significant and sizable losses that he had. But it was, in fact, through those experiences that he had an encounter with Jesus. He was telling me after the fact that he met Jesus in a dream. In this dream, he encountered Jesus, and it was this culmination of the experiences that he had had through his life, where he had had conversations, where people had talked to him about Jesus. And when he, in this dream, just encountered Jesus in a real way, that he realized that he needed to entrust his life into the hands of Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you want to talk about joy, my friend, his joy was palpable. His joy was, it was amazing, the transformation. It didn't mean that his life situation was drastically changed. He still had to go through, he was in the hospital, he had to go through lots of hard things. But he faced it with a joy that was very different. We're coming into this Christmas season, and there are all kinds of promises of where we can find joy. You just have to watch TV, drive around, look at billboards, or look into the windows of shops, and there are all kinds of promises of where we can find joy. Well, I think sometimes those promises are kind of like that water that was flowing along the side of our trail. It may look good, and it may even be a bit refreshing, but it also can not provide what we're hoping it will. Just like a toy that is quickly abandoned for the wrapping paper that it came in, we can sometimes lose interest in the things that we thought were the very things that would bring us joy. Sometimes we look for joy in gifts, things, possessions, high grades, high scores, accomplishments, conquests. All of those things may bring us some happiness for a while, but they will not bring the joy that Jesus brings. Jesus offers us refreshing water. In John chapter 7, it's almost like Jesus is responding back to what Isaiah says in chapter 12. Jesus stands up, he's at a feast, and he stands up and he says this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." perhaps you have never experienced what that means, what that looks like. And that can be a little confusing, even that statement. And so if you're trying to figure out what does that mean to have rivers of living water flowing out of us that are sourced in Jesus, I want to encourage you, as you go through this Christmas season, we realize it's not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus. The gifts we give are because we have been given a gift that we can never, ever comprehend the vastness of it. So pay attention to what this Christmas season is about. Spend some time even in the Gospels just reading about what Jesus has done. Maybe talk to someone who is here with you. Ask them about their experience with Jesus and what it's all about. As Pastor Lyle mentioned in our announcement time, we have an Alpha course starting in January. If you want to explore what this Jesus is about and what this well of salvation is like, consider signing up for the Alpha course. Maybe for some of you, this image of drawing water from wells that will provide joy and salvation, that's been there, done that. Well, in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about God challenges Jeremiah to confront the Israelites around this. He says, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Maybe you find yourself there today. Maybe you've been going to broken cisterns that don't hold water. And it becomes this thirst that things aren't providing the quenching of your thirst. That, well, perhaps it is a broken cistern that needs to be abandoned in light of the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. Isaiah ends this chapter, and it's a beautiful passage, with this declaration that these wells of salvation and the joy that comes out of them result in a joy that we can't just keep to ourselves. Much like those travelers that told us about the spring of water that was so important for us, the joy that comes from Jesus Christ and his salvation is something that we should not be able to contain. And we have an opportunity this Christmas season, as we go through Advent even, to share with others the joy that we found in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 12, he says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel. Further on in John, Jesus is reminding us of how we need to stay connected to him. He challenges us to, like a little branch of a vine needs to stay connected to the main vine, we need to abide in Christ to stay connected to him. And Jesus says this in John 15:11. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." Jesus wants to offer us his joy. This is such good news. This is such good news. This is the gospel. He wants his joy to be in us. Will you drink deeply from the wells of salvation? Will you allow his joy to refresh you? Will you make a decision of faith and hope in the power of Jesus' life and love, not something that we can accomplish or muster up? Will you embrace it? Perhaps even today for the first time, will you embrace the joy of his salvation? And going out from here, will you tell someone? Will you go and tell it, maybe on a mountain, maybe over a hill or anywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Little foreshadowing. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you feel like you're on that tough uphill climb and the trail is slippery and it's hard to navigate. I want to point you to a well, not just a little spring, but an established well that will provide more than just joy, but salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your Son, that he came not just to bring us joy, but to bring us so much more. And so as we consider your joy today, we pray that we would go out from here with your joy. Thank you. Amen.